I feel like I should let you know what my name is. It's Eden, in case you forgot or have never seen me in this building before. So we here in Abbotsford live, work, and play on the traditional and unceded lands of the Stolo, Kwantlen, and Semiahmoo people. And we feel it's important to acknowledge this and express our appreciation for the peaceful place we live and the nations who share it with us. For many of us, there was a time when going to church on Sunday morning was a given or a have to. But for many of us, that's no longer the case. And we understand that being at church on a Sunday morning is not a measure of our faith or the state of our heart, and that our Sunday morning presence isn't our ticket into heaven.
Yeah.
But it is lovely to be together, and your choice to join us this morning feels significant and like a gift, and we're so happy to have you in the mix with us this morning. So welcome to all of you, and to each of you, and even the parts that might be squirming because church hasn't always been a safe place for you. We don't have to show up with our best behavior. We prefer that you be real here instead of good. So please hear this as permission to ask your questions and to listen with your discernment on. You are with a community that values the journey and is less impressed with the destination than it is about the discoveries that we are making along the way. If Kevin is finished blowing his nose, then we're gonna move into worship. So let me just pray. I guess I didn't have to point out that he was blowing his nose, but.
If you want to talk bodily fluids, I'll talk about that all day.
Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for inviting us here today. Thank you for coming along with us and for anticipating time with us. We ask that we would just be able to hear you, feel you, sense you in whatever way works best for us this morning. You are worth worshiping. Amen. I feel like I arrived this morning feeling a little empty. Could have to do with jet lag. Could have to do with just life in general. But I just kept getting fuller and fuller and fuller as we sang. It was just so beautiful and so much good truth. Any one of those songs I would welcome as a like an earworm, is that the term? Like something that just kind of sticks there. I would welcome any one of those songs in my ear all week. So thank you guys for leading us so well. I kind of felt like I was invited to rest, but also rise at the same time. And it was lovely. Just thank you so much.
Life is paradox.
There you go. Okay, we're going to do an interview, and we have Luke and Kayla and Lennon and Grayson and Emmett. This is going to be fun. Lovely to have you guys here today. So I did say your names, but maybe you can just like let everyone know which one of you is Luke.
That's me.
I'm Kayla.
Emmett. Grayson. Lennon.
Wow, that was impressive. So, where do you guys live and who or what lives in your house with you?
You want to answer that, Lennon?
We live in Langley, BC.
And how many people live in our house?
7.
Nana and Taco.
Oh.
And no.
My mom and dad live in the addition on our house. So there, yes.
Great.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been part of our Sunday morning gatherings, and how did you find us?
I think we were just asking each other that this morning. I think a year and a half, since like fall 2022. Just not yet. Okay. You'll have a turn. And we were just looking for an affirming church. I had heard about the Bridge previously many times, but so online we found it. I think made our way here.
Stacy Chomniak came here, and I wasn't here, but I saw that on social media, and then that's how we found out about it.
So what brings each of you joy?
Do you want to start?
When my friends play with me.
Oh.
When my friends play with me too.
What brings you joy?
I would say for me, hanging out with these guys and music and good storytelling and nature.
They're reading The Hobbit right now. For me, I would say children. I am an elementary school teacher and mother of these ones. So children, and then I think when I need to get away from the children, I love trying out new restaurants, and I'm a foodie with Luke.
Oh, nice. What would you like to be known for?
When my friends say I'm a good friend. A singer.
Yeah, what do you want to be known for?
What do you want to be known for?
Sleep.
Sleep? You want to be a good sleeper.
Restful.
I think for me, ultimately, just for being kind and for being a good listener, that's a big one for me.
And for love, being present. And empathetic, I think.
Do you guys have anything you would like us to pray for you guys as a family?
I think for me specifically, not that right now I'm entering a busy season of work. I'm doing a lot of extra. I'm teaching in the classroom almost full time, plus I work with homeschool students and with my children at home. It's just a very busy season heading into report cards soon, and so just the end of the school year.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's pray for that right now. So Jesus, thank you for this family, and thank you for Kayla's busyness, but would you give her strength and discernment in what to tackle or what else to take on? Would you give her good sleep? And would you give her the capacity to still engage well with those around her so that she can be known as a good listener and a good friend? In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, so we're going to just pray for a
break. Coffee, tea.
They're doing the coffee, so that's probably my cue to get started with communion for us.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that's what I'm seeing. All right. So I am actually going to share my screen because I'm going to share some words with you, but I'm also going to play a little song. So let me make sure that I'm sharing my computer sound. All right. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Yep. All right. Wonderful. I'm trying to see how I can hide. There we go. That's what I was looking for. All right. It's fine. See if I could take that out of the way. Okay. The communion meal is the central act of Christian hospitality. And it is important to us that you know that you are welcome at our table, whoever you are, whatever your story. I'm just going to read from this reading from the inclusive gathering in Birmingham. And you can join along if you'd like. You don't have to. You can just listen. So God calls us, community of saints, beloveds of God. We are invited to come and gather at the table of love and liberation, to feast on the dreams of God, to be nourished by, but a taste of what God desires to do among us. God calls us from the institutional halls of power, from shelters and the streets. God calls us from the classrooms and pulpits, gay bars and prison cells. God calls us as we are, from wherever we are, to come and be in solidarity with Christ, who lives and loves on the margins. God whispers, come and live abundantly, turning from all that claims blessings flow from money, power, or control. To answer the call of Christ is to find ourselves, no matter our social location, choosing to align ourselves with the cause of the marginalized, the oppressed, the outcast, and the isolated, that together we might enflesh new possibilities of healing, of connection, of freedom from all that destroys. And so let us come to the table expectant, eager, open to tasting the rich blessings of heaven, born from unexpected places and people and experiences. In this meal, we remember the life, death, and resurrection of the one who still takes on flesh among us today. And on the night he would be arrested, Jesus gathered his friends and companions. In the midst of a tense and dangerous time, they found each other at a table, connecting over the story of God in flesh among them. And as they did so, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples. Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and shared it with his disciples, saying, drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, breath of God, renewer of life, settle on these gifts and all who gather here, that we might be transformed in our remembrance of your radical love, your eternal embrace, and your grace that makes all things new. Amen. And I'm going to play a song for everybody, and then we'll finish it out and get back to the rest of the service.
Relays the things that she understands and how that exhibits her faith to those around her. Just let her know that she is not alone this morning and that she is among friends who want to hear what she has to share. Amen.
Amen. Okay, here we go. Okay. Well, you seem happy enough already. Maybe I'll just go home. Okay, so as is the custom, we are the people who speak are given verses out of the lectionary, which I actually don't know what that is. I was going to tell you all about the lecture, and then I realized I think it's a book of verses that churches get, and then they all speak out of them at the same time. I think so. Anyway, that's our custom. And I'm sure you know more about it than I do, but we will get on with it. I was given four verses. actually potentially five, but the first one, in hopes to just share something encouraging and uplifting and just a takeaway. You know, that's what you want when you share, is like, hopefully you can all take away something that's encouraging, that is uplifting and inspiring, maybe challenging. So I'm gonna go right into it. I'm gonna read them all and then I'm gonna come back to them. So, and I'm gonna take you through a little bit of the process of how I got to where I wanna be. So I started with Acts 8:1-12 and deciding which verses I was gonna use and what I wasn't going to use. So the first one started with, now Saul approved of the mob killing Stephen. I was like, well, we're gonna start with violence first thing on a Sunday morning. No, I'm gonna leave that one altogether. I don't wanna do persecution. I don't wanna do violence. So I'm gonna move on to Isaiah. I'm not even gonna read it to you. Okay, Isaiah, the second one's Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good news, proclaiming peace, bringing good news, proclaiming salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns, daughter. Daughter, the sound of your sentinels, lifting their voice as one they sing for joy. For from one eye to another, they see the return of the Holy One of Sinai to Zion. That's a lot of language. Okay, so, but I thought, you know what? There's some interesting things in there. I'm going to dig into that. The next one was Psalm 71:15-23. But I still wasn't sure where I was going to go with this. My mouth will recount your righteousness, says, I'm assuming David, but one never knows really for sure who wrote these things, but we're assuming it's David. My mouth will count your righteousness all day long, your salvation. Though I cannot know their counting or their number, I guess. I'm going to put my glasses on. I really hate wearing them, but I'm going to put them on. Oh, man, that's better. Okay. You know, I just have avoided wearing them, but actually it's so nice to see. I come with the mighty deeds of the sovereign God. I recall your righteousness and yours alone. God, you have taught me from my youth. Even now, I yet proclaim your wonders, and yes, even to old age and gray hair. God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might. And that's okay. I don't know. That confuses me. To the generation to come and your power. Your righteousness, God, is at its highest, and you have done great things, God, who is like you. You have let me see many troubles and adversities, and you will restore me, bringing me to life from the depths of the earth. You will restore me and lift me up. You will magnify my greatness. That's interesting. And turn and comfort me. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, oh my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy as I sing praise to you, even my soul, which you have redeemed. So that was Psalm 71. The next verse was Romans 10:9. And this is a verse that I'm sure we've all heard. Now then, if you confess with your lips, Jesus is sovereign, and believe with him in your heart to righteousness, and with your mouth you confess, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, leading to salvation. Man, it's a lot of stuff. It's just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, you do this first, and then you do this first, and you do that next, and hopefully something good will happen in the end. No one who believes in that one will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same sovereign is sovereign of all and is richly generous to all who call on the sovereign. For everyone who calls on the name of the sovereign shall be saved. So that's a very common verse. The last one was out of John 4 when Jesus stops on his way to wherever he was going, but he stops in Samaria and he talks to a Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who's called the Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am the one who is speaking to you. Now, just then his disciples came and were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, they learned some things about interrupting Jesus. What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city and said to all the people, come and see the man who has told me everything I've ever done. Is this not the Messiah? So those were the verses. And I thought about them for a while and I thought, well, I don't really know where to go with this. So I thought, well, maybe I'll read the text notes and the preaching prompts, which are given and they're supposed to help you through and give you some idea as to where you should go with all these. So, oh man, you're blurry when I look up. Okay. Acts 8. Okay, so the proclamation notes, text notes. I thought, well, maybe this will be interesting and it'll lead me somewhere. Okay, in Acts 3, the language used for Saul handing over women and men to prison is the same as that used for Judas handing over Jesus to be crucified. In verse 4, all the verbs are masculine, plural, functioning as inclusive, common plurals. Just as it was not only men who were scattered after the persecution raids, there's no reason to believe that only men proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Therefore, I've translated both verbs in the same way as pertaining to both women and men. I was like, okay, this is really not going anywhere for me. This is not helping. I don't know. Maybe it helps other people, but not me. So I thought, okay, the preaching prompts, this may help me. Okay, so here in the preaching prompts, it says, all these readings contain accounts of telling the good news of God. Oh, okay. There we go. This morning has been about good news, and that's all I needed to hear. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to find the good news in these passages, because I'm sure it's here. So, Isaiah, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. The first thing that jumped out to me was beautiful and feet in the same sentence. It's like, how can that be? But I don't know whether it was just like a poetic moment for Isaiah or whoever wrote this again. And, but I started thinking about feet and I thought, you know, feet, they ground us. They hold us firm to the ground. They balance us. They absorb shock. I started thinking about all this and I thought, it's important to be grounded. It's important to have our feet on the ground. And, it also reminded me of something that a teacher friend of mine who actually lived with in Hong Kong, I lived in Hong Kong for some years, Jackie Pullinger, she would preach and she would say, God, she's English, and I can't do an English accent, so I won't even try, but God didn't send a book, he sent a man. And I always remember that as being so profound. I mean, it's just true, we all know that. But something about that humanity, that connection, that it's not a book, it's not a list, it's actually a human being with blood and sweat that was sent to us with feet who was grounded on the earth. And I always just found that very powerful. Getting down to in the middle of the verse, it says, proclaiming peace, bringing good news, proclaiming salvation. And that's kind of like the theme of where I sort of landed. Salvation, the first thing that I think of when I think of salvation is, it's kind of, I don't know, I would say it's a little bit unfortunate, and it's not where my heart exactly goes, but I think, okay, for spiritual laws, like the tracts that say, okay, we are, God is perfect. We're not perfect. We need to be perfect. So Jesus came and all this formulaic kind of list that is so tiring, and that just feels like, really, like we need a list? How do we need a list? How do we need a formula or something that is beating inside of our chest? And I think thinking about salvation to these people, salvation was, maybe the Romans won't come this year and get your taxes. Maybe no one will come and steal your daughter. Maybe your food will grow this year and you can eat. Salvation was like being removed or taken from or lifted from clear present danger here and now. Salvation to them was, today, in this moment, I'm going to be rescued from something. Something horrible is going to be taken. I can actually survive this. And I think they were really onto something, because to me, if salvation is not for here and now, then what the heck is it for? Like, why? Why does it really matter that much when we're old and we're tired and we're, you know, at the end of our lives, that we know where we're going to go? Like, I'm not saying there's no heaven and there's no hell, and I don't want to get into that. But isn't it more important, like, in this moment, that I have courage, that I have kindness to extend to someone who's being rude to me? Or, you know, isn't that much more important? I feel like it is. I feel like it really is. Okay, so the next verse, the Psalms, that psalm that I read, Psalm 71, there was just some odd things that stuck out to me. Like, God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to the generation, to come, and your power. It was like, the proclamation is all that matters. Like, there's more than the proclamation. There's actually the living in it that matters. And he says, until, you know, don't forsake me until I proclaim. And I'm like, wow, then yeah, I can be forsaken. Then, as long as I do the right thing, it's going to be okay to be left. I'm like, I don't get that. But anyway, there's lots of other good things in there. But so the next verse was Romans 10:9. And you notice that the word sovereign was one, let me count, I think 7 times. I don't know what translation this is. I just printed it off the out of the lectionary thing. But this verse has been used, probably inserted into that list so many times. And again, it's just feels so, it's such a, I feel weary when I think about it. And I also feel a little bit sad when I read this verse. I know for a lot of people it brings joy, but when I read it now, then, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is sovereign, I mean, the word sovereign means supreme looter. Wow. Supreme ruler. What's a looter? That doesn't sound very good. Supreme ruler. I don't even know if that's a word. Or supreme ruler, especially a monarch. And I was thinking about that. I think how the word sovereign is in a lot of our songs and in our God, you're sovereign. And I thought about the life of Jesus, and I thought about how unsovereign he seemed to be, putting himself under the feet of serving other people and making himself small, not, you know, doing things and saying, don't tell anybody, constantly putting himself under things so that he could serve. And I thought, you know, I have to confess that Jesus is sovereign. That's the Jesus. I don't think he is. I don't think that's what he came to say about himself or to say about God. I just feel like what I saw and what I've experienced in my own life is very different than a sovereign ruler. So anyway, it goes on to say, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes leading to righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses. I think, and often I've struggled with this too, because what if you honestly can't believe? What if you have certain things in your head, or you've had certain experiences where you say, you know, it sounds like what you're saying is God loves me, but I don't believe it. So then I'm lost forever because I can't confess. I don't believe. Another interpretation that I have thought is, what if it means instead of confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and following the tick, tick, tick boxes, you find yourself in a place where your heart is open. There's a sense of, I need change and I want change. And I recognize that I don't even know what I believe about God, but my heart is open. I have that much courage. That's just that much to open my heart a little bit. Maybe that's more what it means than naming and claiming and grabbing and saying, I'm, you know, I believe. And it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the sovereign will be saved. And I do really think that that openness of heart, that humility of heart, that being able to be honest and say, I don't know what I believe, but I have an open heart and I'm willing to hear. I'm willing for change. I'm hoping for change. So I thought, and I'll go back to the woman at the well afterwards, but I thought that what I could do is share with you a story from my own life about salvation, what felt like salvation to me. I have to go back a little bit, but I won't go a long ways back. When I was younger, my parents took us to church, me and my sister, and church for me when I was young was, there's no horror stories. There's just a sense of, and I don't even know how it happened. Speaking of not formulas, hymns were sung. It was traditional. It was Baptist. It was Pentecostal. It was whatever church there was, because we moved around because my dad was in the Navy. It was whatever it was. But there was this sense of being reached, being loved, being accepted, that just settled in my soul somehow. And I don't even know how it happened, but it did. It settled in my soul. And I carried that with me. It was there. So then through my life, my parents got divorced. I met a guy in high school and we started dating. And in the midst of all of that, it just wasn't very healthy. The divorce happened in our family. His parents were divorced and it was really messy. And even though that had settled in my heart, I felt like I was just searching and grabbing at whatever felt like life-giving to me. So at the end of high school, we broke up. He moved to BC here. And after some time, I followed him here. And when I got here, I realized that I wasn't really sure about our relationship, but he lived with his sister who was a Christian and her husband. And they said, okay, you have to come to church with us if you're going to stay here. So off we went. And I was I just walked in and there wasn't a lot of confessing. There wasn't a lot of repenting. And that's all good. Those things are good, to confess and repent and all of that. But I'm talking about my experience when I walked in. I felt like, again, like just somehow loved and accepted. And it just felt like coming home. It was grace to me. And so from that point on, our relationship wasn't good. He ended up moving back to where we came from, Nova Scotia. And I was bound in that relationship, even though I felt loved by God. I just felt like I couldn't let him go. So I followed him back to Nova Scotia, back and forth. Anyway, I followed him back here. And as often your life can be when you're young and you're trying to find your way, can often be a bit like, you know, we're watching our kids and they're like, you just have to be patient with the, because if you're honest, you know, you had some yourself. So, if you can remember that far back. So I followed him back and we weren't getting along really well because he thought that I was coming back for him. And I did too, but then I realized, you know what? This is not working. I'm not happy in this relationship, but I just was bound in it. I could not say goodbye. I could not leave. I was just bound in it. And then I had this experience with him. It was amidst some violence. We were driving and he was just yelling and it was not good. Clearly not healthy by any stretch of the imagination. We're driving and then he asked me, he said, what do you want to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? And I was like, and people say God spoke, people say, you know, I heard an audible voice or I had an impression or I don't know what any of that really means for all of us and what language you use. But if I was to use an audible voice, I would say, God said, if you marry this guy, I will bless you. And I was like, I'm so confused. Like, I was stunned. I was just like, I just had this little revelation or whatever you want to call it. And I was like, how can that be? I'm in a violent situation. I know this is not healthy. And it was like grace just came rolling over me. Like, get it? There is absolutely nothing you could choose. Like nothing. You could choose this willingly. And I'm telling you, I will never leave. You are saved. You're saved. This is salvation. This is your moment. You're right now. It's not about what's going to happen after you die. This is your right now moment. And I just was... something inside me broke. And the next day, I got on a bus and I drove away and I never looked back. And I was saved. I was saved from that relationship and from that path, that trajectory that I was. And not because I had followed or even like done all the right things. I certainly hadn't done all the right things. But rescue means rescue. Rescue is not, I got myself out of the hole. Rescue is, I was in the hole and there was no rope. There was no, I couldn't problem solve. I couldn't yell loud enough. I couldn't do anything. Salvation actually means I was saved. And there was nothing that I did to make it happen. I just was like the song this morning. I was found, I was rescued, I was chased after. And to me, when I think about salvation, I think, okay, then if that's what it is, then maybe it's a daily thing. Maybe it's a moment by moment thing. Maybe it's an experience that happens over and over and over again. And that's maybe what it was meant to be. Not one event, but maybe it was meant to be, I can sense the presence of God when I want to yell at my kids and I can be quiet and listen instead. I can be saved from doing something horrible at work on a hard day, or I can be saved from, I can be saved unto just knowing that I'm loved and that I'm okay. That's my own personal story. And then back to the woman at the well, she says, doesn't talk about the conversation before, but he says to her, I guess she says, you know, where do we go to worship? You know, the, if you know the verse. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth. And I guess you could interpret that as must, like you have to get down. And if you're going to do it, you have to do it this way. And what came to me when I was reading it was, no, if you do it, if you are doing it, then it's because there is truth. The spirit is moving you. That's the only way it can happen, right? Is if there's love. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who's called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said, I am. So again, there's the incarnate, that human, I am. Not I'll teach you about who I am, or if you do this or you read that or you what, but I am the one. I am the one who is speaking to you. I am in you. I am for you. And that's where the journey ended for me, through the verses. And, you know, I just hope that we can all just learn and, you know, not so much with our heads, but in our experience, in our day-to-day lives, that salvation is a breaking in and through those things where, you know, there's just a weariness, an emptiness, a lostness. And there can be hope there. There can be life there. Right there. Not when you figure it out. Not when you've got it all sorted. But right there, in that place. And, yeah. So that's all I have to say.
I'm so glad to be here this morning. Does this work? This one?
Use the wireless.
Yep. So glad to be here. That was an amazing word. And I just bless all of us being here today. Those who are online, so good to see you. And pray for our coming week and this season. Lord have mercy. Amen.
Amen.